Here in chapter 9, and the Lord, of course, dealing with folks and dealing with his disciples, and the disciples have had some quarrel about some other folks doing some things and that. And in verse number 57, Luke 9:57, we pick it up. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I'll follow you everywhere. You know, when the Lord saves your soul, that's the way that it is. That's what you're saying. When you identify with Christ, when you repent of your sins, you see yourself as the chiefest of sinners, and that without the salvation of the Lord and Him saving your soul, Him forgiving you and redeeming you and making you His own, without that you are lost, you are gone. You say that to Him, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Are you willing to count the cost? There is a cost in following Christ. Verse 59, and he said unto another, this is the Lord saying, a man volunteered that before. He said, I'm going to follow you. And he said, the Lord says to him, I don't even have a place to lay my head. And another, the Lord says unto them, follow me. Follow me. The call of the Lord. The call from His Word. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He had other things that he wanted to do. He wanted to wait till his father dies, is the connotation. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God, the calling to service of the Lord, and the calling of salvation. Verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. This man had to go tell somebody goodbye. He had to go and do something else with this call of the Lord here in front of him. Verse 62, here's what we want to look at this morning. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man having put his hand to the plow, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Plow straight rows. If you look back, you can't, can you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your blessings upon us. We pray, Father, that you'd help us now to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, and help us with your word. Speak to us through your word, and help us in it, Father. Help us, Lord, to see that calling that you've called us with, that we might serve you well, that we might desire you, and we might seek your kingdom, Father, and be a good witness and live for you. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that this would be the day of their salvation, that you would work in them, and Lord, help them to come to you in repentance and faith, and they trust Jesus Christ, and Lord, you save them. Work in them and bless. Help us now, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And here in chapter 10, we pick it up. The Lord having spoken to these fellas and those saying what they would do, the Lord calling some and the excuse that they had. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. He sent them out in advance, 35 pairs that he sends out. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The harvest of the Lord. The harvest, the gleaning, the gathering together of the Lord, and of course we understand about here truly about the harvest, much agriculture that goes on around, wheat that's been sown, corn that's going to be sown, beans and other things, and the farmer puts those in and prays for rain and looks for the blessing of the Lord upon it, and hoping that it'll produce. Hoping that what's been put down will multiply greatly. So then a time can come and that the stalk and the fruit and all that will endure, and they'll come to the time that they can go ahead and harvest it and bring it in. The Lord says to us, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray. I told you this morning about praying for the Lord to call men into His gospel ministry. If we say in of ourselves and with our children, we say, yes, Lord, call them, but not mine. Do we really desire that the Lord would call folks into His ministry? If we ourselves aren't used to the Lord in His ministry, do we really see and show the importance of it. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, we've been given a work here at Olmsted Baptist Church to do. We've been given a field in which to work. And we need to pursue that. And we plan and pray that in this coming year that we can do more along that line of contacting our community and visiting the community and let them know that we're here and let them know why we're here and let them know that we preach Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And are you, as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, are you ready and willing to work in that? Yeah, but Brother Jim, I don't know what to say. Just tell them what the Lord did for you. Brother Jim, I don't know what scriptures to use. Well, you got some time between now and then to study and get some scriptures together just to tell them about Jesus. Are you ready? Are we ready? Am I ready to labor in this harvest? Oh, we need to pray. We need to pray that we would see the harvest. Many that meet with us here that are not saved have not confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Many of these young ones here that are coming up and come service after service, and I trust hear the preaching of the Word of God, hear the gospel. I trust they in the homes in which they live. And as you meet with them, deal with them, have them in Sunday school class, or hear with them in the fellowship meetings, or different things that you are able to speak to them, that you pray for them, that they be saved. Little children that we have, even in our number, that are not brought to Sunday school, that they might learn about those foundational stories. They need to be. That time is passing as they're getting older. Oh, the harvest truly is great. Are you willing to be a laborer in it? The laborers are few. We need to pray. We need to examine ourselves that we'd be a part of it. You know, Sunday morning service, it's not all the service that there is for the Lord. It's not. There's plenty to be done. The Lord tells these 70, these 35 pairs, go your ways, verse 3. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. We carry a message that the world in and of itself doesn't understand, a message that doesn't make sense, but it is the message by which the Lord will work and save. And we need to have confidence in that. We need to have confidence in that, that the Lord His message will work because it's ordained of Him. He says to these, He says, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And to whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. The ministry and the work that the Lord's given us here is for us to do. And we need to trust Him as we go. And we need to understand that that ministry, the tools of that ministry are very simple, aren't they? It's you, your feet, your mouth, and this book. It doesn't take this building. It doesn't take these pews. It doesn't take these carpets. It doesn't take this pulpit. And we've said before, if the church house burnt down, if we lost every bit of the dwelling, the buildings that we have, would we yet meet the following service? Let us see and consider about how the martyrs of old and the saints of old, they would go and they would meet. Even when it was forbidden for them to meet, they would meet in a rowboat and go out on a lake and sing, behaving as if they were having a time of singing. And when they would get out on the water far enough, then the minister would open up the Word of God and teach and preach to the people. You know, they went to some effort, didn't they? They went to some real effort to worship the Lord. Are you and I ready for that? And the Lord gives them instruction, these particular ones instruction. He says, don't trust in what you take. Don't trust in your purse. Don't trust in your money. Don't trust and what you how you can equip yourselves, but go in faith. Go in faith. And that's what we need to do. And in verse number 8, into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And you know, by the Lord Jesus Christ putting a church here in Olmsted Baptist Church, that's the message that we have to Olmsted and to Logan County and to Todd County. is that the kingdom of God, it's come right here nigh, real close to you. The Lord's vessel, the Lord's building, the Lord's church has been put here to spread a message to those round about in this region. It's us. It's been given to us to do, and we have a great commission of the Lord to do it. Verse 10, but into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the city, same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Yes, there may be those that would reject the message that we have. There may be those that would even be vehement against the message that we would have. But we need to go tell it. We need to go tell it because the Word of God will not return void, will it? The Lord will take it and accomplish with it what He desires, and He will use it in a way that He is fit, is pleased to do so. And so we need to know, we need to go in hope, sowing the seed, because there's plenty of seed to be sown. And we need to go. I can't do it all. I need to do what I'm supposed to do. But as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, you need to go forth also. You need to tell about Jesus and what He's done for you. And the witness is that in us, in the church, in our witness for the Lord, we're bringing the kingdom of God right up to folks so they can deal with it. What will you do with Jesus Christ would be our message. Verse 12, but I say unto you, that shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom and for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and for Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which is exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despises him that sent me. We need to realize that our message and the word that we carry, it could be used strictly for judgment. It very well may be. In the day and age in which we live, and the end times as they are, and the iniquity abounding, and the love of many waxing cold, and just the height of depravity, and the time where the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and the Spirit of God will be taken back from the earth, and that restraining power of the Spirit of God be removed, and iniquity and wickedness and Satan working his wonders and the things that he's going to do. It may be that the day in which we've been called to serve, the day in which we've been called to witness and preach, may be that what we would preach and the word that we would preach would be used mostly for judgment. It could be. I don't know. But we go forth, we should go forth knowing that can be the case, knowing that we need to spread that gospel, knowing that we need to preach that gospel to lost and dying sinners, and pray that the Lord of the harvest will work and cause in them to spring up life and they be saved, and you and I get to be used in the ministry of bringing that word and being a witness to them. Do you have a desire for that? Not a wish I could do it desire, but to put feet on those prayers. Lord, save sinners. We need to. And they realize in verse 16 that we, in this commission that we have from the Lord here at Olmsted Baptist Church, he that heareth you heareth me. We need to be right about what we say the Word of God says, don't we? We need to study diligently. We need to seek what the Word of God says. We need to be equipped and armed. We need to be equipped and armed. You, as a member of this church, can you give an answer about why it is that sinners need a Savior? Can you give an answer about who the Creator is? Can you take your Bible and open it up and show it to somebody that to show them that God has given them life and that they're responsible before God? If you can't, can you take your Bible and open it up and show them why Satan is the enemy and that Satan is the enemy of God? If they ask you, say, well, who is Satan? I don't believe any of that. Can you take your Bible and can you show them about that? Can you show them why it is that sinners need to be bought back from the slave market of sin, why they need to be redeemed, why it took the Son of God to come from glory and become a man, to be representative of men before God. Can you take your Bible? Can you do that? You need to. We need to be able to, because that is the witness that we carry. And if they hear us, they hear the Lord. And if they despise us, they despise the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they despise the Lord Jesus Christ, let us know that they despise God. We are the messenger and the witness. My point to that is, if it is rejected, don't take it personal. It's the Lord that they buck against. Oh, but if we're used of God to take the word to them and the Lord saves them. Isn't it wonderful and isn't it glorious to see life being given to sinners? Yes. Yes, it is. Verse number 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I saw the beginning of it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Rejoice not. The Lord told the disciples, in the power that I've given you and the way that I've given to you to be able to go out and minister, that a snake can bite you and it won't affect you, that even the demons are subject to you as you healed and as you cast them out. Don't be excited about that. Don't rejoice in that. Don't be happy in that. But remember and rejoice. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We're children of the King. Join heirs with Christ. Because He loved a sinner like me and saved me, I'm now a child of the King. And we need to live like it. We need to live like it. We need to behave like it. We need to operate like it. And remember that God has written our names in heaven. You know, it can't be blotted out. It can't be canceled. It can't be taken away. It's forever. Verse 21, and in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. That's you and me. We're the babes. We're that of the world that the Lord's taken and saved, that the world doesn't esteem as much. Not mighty people or people of renown, people of influence, people of power, but babes. Babes. He included me. He included me. And He has given His truth and His Word and His blessing upon the church. And to be able to have a message to tell and a message of hope and salvation in the Lord. And He's given it to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. We are nothing in and of ourselves, but we are something because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. And we need to go tell it. And tell it in a way, in a happy way, in a rejoicing way. Verse 22, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him, because that's what he's done, is he's taken it and he's shown us. He's revealed it unto us. Oh, that we might see the blessing and the love that it is. It's not a hobby or a sideline with the Lord and saving sinners like you and me. But it is His business, and He's taken great pleasure in doing that, and He's revealed Himself unto us. Verse 23, and He turned Him to His disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. There's been many that have searched to see. I get ashamed of myself having this book, having the Word of God, and then go and think about Abraham so that according to the Scripture and the Word of the Lord, he might have went 10, 15, 20 years from one time of hearing from the Lord to another time of hearing from the Lord. He didn't have a Bible like you and I have. He didn't have the account of the Lord working in saints and the warning of the Lord and the telling of the Savior and all. He didn't have this. But he had Abram, load up and get out of here, and I'm going to bless you. And that's what he had. And the Scripture says he was faithful. And yet I've got all this, and I find it and struggle and find it so hard to be faithful. Many have desired to see what you and I have seen, what you and I have, the privilege and the freedom that we have, unparalleled the world over. We can come freely, meet as many times as we want to meet, have as many Bibles as we want to have, speak openly about Jesus Christ wherever we go. And do we put it to use? Do we cherish it? Do we rejoice in it? Many, I tell you, many prophets and kings, verse 24, have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, but you and I have, and to hear those things which ye hear, and we've heard them and have not heard them. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, remember, this man is tempting the Lord. He's a lawyer. He's of the religious elite of the day. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Define neighbor for me. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. He got beat up by him, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? The lawyer says, give me a definition of my neighbor. He said, I understand the God part, but who is my neighbor? Well, there was a certain man that took a trip, and the thieves got him. And they left him for dead. And a Levite went by. And a priest went by. And they went a long way out of the way to get by him as he's laying there in the ditch. But this Samaritan came by. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know what, folks? There's a world of people round about you and me. They're laying there, being slain by sin, laying in the ditch, dying, and going on their way to hell. And there's a religious world passing by them, giving them all kinds of junk that avails nothing. And you and I have the message. And will we stop and give it to them? Will we stop and make the difference? They're in a place of life and death. Without Jesus, they're on their way to hell. Without Jesus Christ and salvation from Him, they are on their way to hell. But it says there in verse 33, this man, of no reputation, despised, being a half-breed Jew, being despised of the priest, being would be despised of the Levite, he had compassion. And he helped the man. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and took him to the inn, and paid out of his own pocket for the care of him, and made a promise that if there's more spent for the man's care, he would pay the innkeeper. In verse 36, "Now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" What did the man say? He wouldn't say the word Samaritan, because that's how much contempt, how much better he thought that he was. This lawyer was not a babe, was he? But he was a man that thought that he had the word of God. He said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Mercy on our neighbor to tell him about Jesus. Mercy on our neighbor to tell them about their need of Christ. Oh, may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to see. You know, if you're here today and you're not saved, that's what you need is Jesus Christ. You need forgiveness of sins that you can't manage and you can't muster up yourself. You can't reckon it. You can't figure it. You can't account for it. You can't do it. It's beyond your ability, capability. There's nothing you have that God wants. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left it all to become a man, live a perfect life, yield himself to the hands of wicked sinners, laid himself down on that cross. He was crucified and hung up between heaven and earth for three hours in the daylight, 3 hours in the darkness, 6 hours that day. And then he died. He suffered, bled, and died alone to pay for sinner sins like you. And not only did he die, but he was buried for 3 days and three nights. He lay there in that grave to show that he was dead. Because, see, being the God-man, as a man he could die, but as God he could bring himself back from the grave. And he did that for sinners like you and me. Did he do it for you? Is he your hope of salvation? Is he that which you are resting in? Is he the one that has saved your soul? If you're not saved, repent and look to him. Believe in him. The Lord said, the lawyer there in verse 37, it said, "He that showed mercy on him." We need to carry this message to the lost. And Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Now it came to pass, verse 38, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She listened. She listened to what Jesus had to say. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And in the day and age in which we lived, isn't that the case with us? We've got this, that, and the other. Stuff to polish, keep track of, wax, cover up, uncover, dust, fill up, drain out. Things to go do. And we find ourselves in a situation that we can't cram enough into 6 days. So then we go ahead and do the things that we don't get done on the Lord's day. Cumbered about many things. There are the sisters. There you and I are shown. And Mary is at the feet of Jesus listening to what he says. And Jesus answered, verse 41, and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful." One thing, the Lord says. "And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." that she's listening to Jesus. You and I, as saved members here of Olmsted Baptist Church, are you and I, are we really listening to Jesus? Are we really, really listening to Jesus? You do the evaluation. I got to take care of me. Are you listening to Jesus? Is the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in your life, shown forth? Is the love for Christ really being shown in your life? Do you have a love for your neighbor and a carrying of the gospel? Or is it a mean, bitter, hard spirit that's within us? How is it? I know those are contrasts. Do you love your neighbor? Do you carry the word to him? Are you a witness? Do you desire to be a part in the church that the Lord's placed you in and serve the Lord and be one of the laborers called to the harvest? Or do you just want to ride on the wagon? Or do you want to be one of the laborers? To you that are here today and not saved, are you listening to Jesus? Jesus says simply, "Come unto me if you're laden and labored down with sin, and I'll give you rest." Him. Trust in Him. Don't try to figure it out. Don't hold on for a feeling. But believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's stand and have a song. If there's anything you need to tell the church, an opportunity for you to do so. If there's any way that we can help you, any way that we can pray with you, read scriptures to you, and try to show you the way of salvation, be glad to do that. We'd love to do that in any way. If there's anything, if you're a member of this church and there's anything you need to tell the church, an opportunity for you to do so. If you've been saved and like to tell us about it, we'd love to know about it and rejoice in it. And if you have a desire and you've been saved, the Lord would add you to this church. We'd receive you by any scriptural means that we can receive you. Labors for the harvest. Loving your neighbor. Listening to Jesus.